Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
You gotta love the little bat sound there. 1984 crash of the baseball bat with the ball. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. What's up, Vish? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, nice. Surviving.
No F1 today. No. Formula One. Happy birthday to Evan's little boy, celebrating your birthday. So we gave him the night off. We gave him the Apex the night off. But it's still a big race. It's the biggest race this. Of the season for Carlos Sainz and for Fernando Alonso. It's their home race. It's the Barcelona GP. So pretty cool, pretty excited about that. We'll talk about it at another time. Maybe we'll do something on Twitter. But it's all about these guys today. Although they seem to be, for lack of a better word, shit in the bed right now. But they're down 3-1 to Edmonton in the second period with 10 minutes left. So they still got an opportunity. We all know that the Panthers are great in the third period. So hopefully they can come back and not have to take it to a game six, please, because then we got to fly another 3,000 miles back to Edmonton. Crazy. But anyways,
we, you're not.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. You're damn right.
I'm not going to Edmonton. You have to change
places. I feel like we are. I feel like I'm going with them. Yeah. I feel like I'm going with them, okay? Oh, boy. My God. Anyways, though, we got a really cool show today.
Look at this. Evan, we just shout out your son, man.
Look at that. Happy birthday to Sones Jr., Evan Jr. I don't even know what his real name is.
Yeah, we should probably,
We should, right? Well enough, right? Anyway. Mm. So, like I said, we got...
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, God. Here we go. Calm down.
At the game and he can't even hear us. Good. So then... maybe don't pepper the chat with garbage.
Yeah, that's. I mean, if you were at the game and you could hear us, that's probably a problem, right?
Wait, Jensen. It's not. It can't be.
Is that your son's real name, Evan?
It's not. No, I mean, I'm sure it's real. It's not after Jensen Button, is it?
Oh, I was gonna say that's a Jensen Button. Which, by the way, Le Mans, baby. All right, Forza Ferrari, with the win over Le Mans also. So, congratulations to them. All right, I know we're digressing big time. We're not even talking about. But let's talk some Kings baseball. We got a really awesome guest coming on the show in about 2 minutes. In about 2 minutes, you know, listen, Kings are are actually hot on the transfer portal trail right now. Gotten a couple of really solid commitments, moved them up in position. I know they're somewhere in the top 10 of transfer portal recruiting right now, recruiting rankings. So pretty excited about that. I know there's some pretty big opportunities still for Miami to get in on a couple other guys. So it's Jensen Ackles.
What is a Jensen Ackles?
What is, yeah. Oh, boy. I'm not sure what CCH is talking about, David Shields.
Anyway.
We'll get to that now. Let's just, you know what, to be honest with you, there's nobody better right now, I think, out there. You know, there's very few guys that are doing it as well as this guy is and his what he's got going on at Baseball Radar. Let's bring in Rob. He's the guy that knows what he's doing when it comes to college baseball transfer portal news, analytics and whatnot. So let's go ahead and bring in the man. What's going on, Big Rob? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Of course, man. Of course. It's we're excited to have you on. You know, we sit here like a bunch of nerds and talk about college baseball for the most part. And we know it. You know it more than anybody else as well. It's a niche. It's a niche fanhood. You know, the society is small when it comes to college baseball fanatics, real fanatics, right? You get a lot of guys that obviously go out there to watch some games, and you know, when the College World Series comes around, everybody comes out. There's very few of us that will go sub 500 and still bleed orange and green or whatever color it is that you bleed, especially when you stink. And here we are. It's hard to be watching the College World Series or Super Regionals or Regionals and not have Miami a part of it. You know, we've been obviously talking about it ad nauseum at this point for about 3 or 4 months, maybe even more. And here we are, though. We kind of saw this coming, where Miami was going to lose a lot of guys in the transfer portal, a ton of guys, and they were going to have to go after a lot of guys as well. So, you know, there's a lot of movement in college baseball. You're probably talking about 6,000-7,000 kids that have entered the portal, if not more. And the truth is, it's hard to keep up with these guys. I mean, a lot of people don't do it as well as you. So, oh, Jesus, Edmonton scored again. Anyways, so we kind of want to get into it with you a little bit, talk a little bit about Canes baseball. But before that, talk to us a little bit about Pro Baseball Radar and what you guys got going on over there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this world that we're in, the transfer portal is the Wild West, and we do what we can to contextualize everything for coaches, for fans, for agents. So the whole premise behind what we create is to contextualize stats. So our stats are weighted by the park factor, so that's how hitter-friendly or pitcher-friendly the players are coming from, the conference, and that's big for the transfer portal, right? When you're looking at guys downstream, those mid-majors, how are those numbers going to translate over into the SEC, the ACC? And then also the team factor. An example there is when you have schools and lower conferences that have good coaches that turn out talent, we want to take that into account. So we bake that all into a formula and put together, rank guys, and present guys for, again, whoever's looking at our data.
I almost forgot I was muted there. Very cool. Very cool. So do you – I mean, you've got an – I guess you could say you've got an inkling as to when some of these players may be entering the portal or haven't yet. So you've got your – is your ranking based off of guys that you are already in the portal – or guys that are considering getting in? Are you ranking just players in general, and then once they hit the portal, now they fall into a different category? How does that work?
Yeah, so what you'll find online for the subscribers are all the people, all the guys that are in the portal. I think it gets a little touchy when you start projecting guys that are going to the portal. I mean, mid-major coaches, I think that would piss a lot of them off. I was like, if we start picking off their best players, being like, oh, this guy's portal target, not even in the portal yet. So right. we stay away from that. We have a ton of coaching clients, so we keep it kosher there.
Fair enough. I know it is a touchy subject. I mean, we see it in football all the time where, yeah, guys haven't even hit the portal yet, and the minute that they do, they're already committed to somewhere else. Gee, I wonder how that happened. So yeah, I mean, it happens everywhere, and I'm sure it happens in college baseball as well, but it's the name of the game. It's the way that things go. I mean, the NIL is obviously put an enormous amount of pressure on a lot of teams and players. However, I mean, I like that they're going back to, you know, well, I don't know if going back to is the right word to say, but you know, not being able to contact players until what is it, August 31st? I know it's somewhere around there of their junior season, right? Of their junior, is that how it is, Rob? How does that work now?
These things change every year with the rules and the quiet period, so it's hard to keep track of. I know the high school guys are different than the portal guys.
Yeah.
I don't know the dates exactly, but
yeah, it's sometime in August. And I like that for one reason. Number one, you don't have these freshmen or eighth graders coming to a school, and you know they don't even have their driver's license yet. They don't know what they're doing with their life, but they're going off and committing. I mean, the great example is Blake Sear, right, who committed at 14 years old in Miami. Had so many things go on that, and now he's obviously elsewhere. We won't say where, because we don't acknowledge
that school. So
we don't acknowledge traitors. Anyways, no, I'm just kidding. So it's just a crazy game. It's a crazy line that a lot of people like to toe, and you get it in all sports. And baseball is starting to see a difference in how the transfer portal is really affecting college baseball more than we thought it would. Right, a lot of people thought, well, there's no money in college baseball. How are these kids gonna get NIL deals? How are these kids gonna move around? Well, I mean, yeah, that's not necessarily true. So. And saying that, you see Miami starting to make some headway with some really good ball players. I know there's some guys that you look at them and say, oh, they're not ranked in the top 250, or they're, you know, this is a kid that's been hurt a lot, or in the case of a kid like Will Smith, right? He's been in and out of the rotation. He's had some arm trouble. He doesn't necessarily throw 95 to 97. He's not up there with those kind of guys, but that's a kid that could come in his fifth year and really, you know, solidify himself as a potential draft pick, even if he's a middle relief type of guy. We've seen it all the time, especially at Miami. Middle relievers are going in the first and fourth, the fourth round. I remember, what's his name, Vish? Ricky Orta? Remember Ricky Orta, the pitcher? I think he was a middle reliever. Yeah, I know. Way back. Yeah. I know. Ricky Orta went way back. It was a middle reliever all year. Got drafted in the fourth round. So, I mean, like there's a lot of instances like that. So some of these guys that Miami has committed, maybe you can kind of talk to us a little bit about what you've seen. I don't even have it pulled up here. But the perfect example is Will Smith. Talk to me a little bit about Will Smith, what you like about him, and how you think he can fit well for this Canes program here on the team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I hate one size fits all and the hot topic and the hot players that all the coaches are going after at this level are the guys that have strikeout stuff. And you look at Will's numbers and he has that, but there needs to be another level to that. Where can we harness that and have it so that he's also not giving up a ton of runs or walking a ton of guys? Look at the walk rate. It was relatively low, like actually really low compared to all the other stuff guys that are in the portal. But again, it's like, how is the coaching staff going to, use his stuff? Is he a fastball guy with a high, spin where he needs to live up in the zone? What's the slider percentage? Where is he locating it? The sequencing, all that. It's tough to speak on that without the track man right in front of me, but, I think it's more than just the stats you see in the back of the baseball card and how the coaches can, develop his stuff. And so he can take that next step.
Yeah, no, that's kind of part of your evaluation, right? Trying to project out to, although Coastal's a big time program too, so it's not like he's going from, you know, that much of a lower level. So just one of our, you know, I would say our biggest fanatic probably, Cade's Cats, he is in the chat. He's Cats because he's at the Panthers game, so he can't actually hear us. He's like watching us on his phone without audio. But he did ask some questions here, so I'll throw these your way about your rankings. So in terms of portal rankings, how do you weight high school? Like, do you weight at all, I guess, their high school performance after they go to college, especially if they've, you know, not played a lot in college?
Yeah, it's very subtle. I mean, without plagiarizing any of the big sites and they're using their rankings. At the SEC, ACC level, it's pretty much those top 100 guys that you can feel pretty confident about. The Daniel Cuvées of the world, even the Lorenzo Carriers of the world, even though it didn't fully materialize there. But you can feel pretty confident about those guys and their projectability. But that's something I want to do in the fall is dive into the high school stats. I know in Florida here, we got a ton of talent, the Miami area, the Orlando area, the Tampa area. So if we can find some kind of weighting system that, you know, weights those IMG academies of the world versus, you know, all the schools downstream from there and implement that into the system, that's something that I'm definitely looking to do. But high school right now is not really a huge factor for what we're doing.
Interesting. So another question kind of around, well, two things around NIL kind of. So in terms of, and this is obviously a little bit of a prognostication on your part, but in terms of NIL, how much of a factor do you think that is in where kids are deciding to go now when they enter the portal? And then kind of a secondary to that, is there a lot of NIL money floating around at some of the smaller schools as well, or is it mostly the football schools that have the football money coming in that can spend it?
Yeah. It's a massive power vacuum right now with the SEC, ACC mostly. You got some Big 12 schools in there. I think TCU comes to mind. But I do think that's a factor in tandem with, you know, how guys are getting along with the coaching staff. Is there a spot? How can they develop me so that I'm the best draft prospect I can be? There's so much more that goes into it. In-state tuition is huge. I know not for Miami, but there's a ton of public schools that we won't mention in the state of Florida where, you know, you're getting a guy in in-state tuition. We're not going there, but, you know, when you're competing in the portal, you're competing with those schools that are able to offer the in-state tuition and then throw NIL on top of it. And that's such a huge advantage. But, you know, with a private school like Miami, too, you know, you got a lot in the piggy bank. And I think we see it now with the players that we're bringing on, and I don't think they're done.
So is this NIL money kind of covering for – I mean, college baseball famously gives you 11.7 scholarships for – ridiculous. I think we all agree it should be a full scholarship sport. Don't know how we're still living in the Stone Ages with that, with all the money floating around and ESPN games on TV, all this money coming in, they still – so you think NIL is kind of covering some of that now because essentially add that to the NIL deal and pay the tuition for them?
Yeah, definitely. And it's at the detriment of all these mid-major schools that can just no longer compete. But, you know, you can't fight it. It's just the way it is now. So a lot of these mid-major coaches, you know, you can go about it in two ways. You can say, all right, is a kid, can he use my school's leapfrog program? I mean, a lot of coaches are going to be insulted by that. They don't want a kid to come and then just, you know, turn their back on them after one successful year. But it's just the way it is now. I think the only way you can have success with it is embrace it and to market it even. And I know it's pretty weird to market a kid like your top player is going to play against you essentially in D1, but it's a recruiting pitch. Like, hey, we got these guys. He's off to the SEC now. Like, we see that with you, and it's something. It's something to grasp onto.
It's so crazy.
And actually, you see that, we won't mention the specific teams, but the College Wars Series was for ACC, for SEC. That's not an accident. That's where the money is.
Yeah. I mean, and the craziest thing is that you've got all these players that, you know, play at these big-time programs and have great years and still move on and still transfer, right? I mean, a perfect example is you know, the Neal kid. Is it Neal or Neely, the catcher over at LSU that entered the transfer portal recently? You know, a guy that probably stays there. I mean, he's still, you know, he's projected to be a big-time prospect in the 25 draft. But, I mean, you were 1 year removed from winning the national title at LSU. You know, that program won a national title the year before. You know, you had, a decent season, right? It wasn't a crazy season, but you're still projected to get drafted high in 2025. You're still thinking about entering. Well, you did enter the transfer portal. When things like that happen, is that just purely on NIL, or is that purely? I mean, is there other factors that go in? I mean, I get the whole thing. You know, he's from Florida. He wants to be closer to home. I don't buy that as much as, you know, as some other people do, but I think that at this point you're leaving LSU, which by the way has significant NIL money for baseball. What are you thinking when you do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to narrow it down. I mean, it could be, you know, how they're vibing with the coaches. They're not like the approach that the hitting coach is putting out. And I'm not saying that's the case. It's just I don't really think you can know for sure. Yeah. And you can just draw it up to the NIL.
And by the way, is he coming to Miami? That was the real question.
there's a catching need there. It's hard to see someone dropping from the SEC down to the ACC, even though they're kind of even now. He's definitely in play, though. Definitely in play.
I hope so. Now we need a catcher so badly.
We need more than one.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple coming in.
You never know with the true freshmen. All of the catchers left off the roster last year. So.
Yeah, every single one.
Catchers got three.
So let's do this, since I do have the list in front of me now, Vish, because this is what I do. I've got a list of the guys that have already committed to Miami now. I'll kind of get your, you know, we've already gone over Will Smith. You know, another kid, another pitcher, Rob Evans from Georgia State, is a kid that committed last week. And Griffin Hugis. Did I say that right? Hugis? Kid out of Cincinnati. Talk to me a little bit about what those kids could potentially come in and do here at Miami.
With Rob Evans, I mean, he's been on the scene for a while. I'm sure he's been on Miami's radar for a while. I believe he was a Chipola guy. I like the track record there, Chipola, then off the Sun Belt. The numbers, yeah, I think that's a pretty hitter-friendly place, if I'm not mistaken. So a little bit of inflated ERA. But I think he's a guy, I think he could, let's say, Sunday starter right now, depending on what the pitching staff does with him and if they can exploit the stuff and get some more outs and prevent runs. But, I think that's a great sign by them. And then Hugis, you know, coming from the Big 12, again, I like the track record there. ERA good. I think you'd like to see a little bit more on the strikeout stuff. But, you know, that's a developing thing. He's a rising junior, so you see a lot of guys that go from that sophomore to junior year take that big step in their draft years, you know. So I like the signs. I think Hugis is more projects as a bullpen piece right now. With the guys that you brought in, Maurice Lumpkin kid out of Winthrop, the Rob Evans, those guys have
– Carson Fisher, what about him over at Davenport?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big jump. You're looking at the numbers there. You're going from D2 to the ACC. I would say he projects as a bullpen guy right now. I would like to see typically a little bit more domination come from the D2 level to ACC, but another guy with starting experience there for sure.
Reese is a guy that intrigues me, though, because he throws hard, right? He's a kid that's got a little bit of juice. I like him, but I think the bottom three guys that I'm excited about the most, to be perfectly honest with you, is Derek Williams, Bobby Marsh, and Todd Hudson. I know Todd Hudson, you know, someone mentioned him being a two-way player, but he's apparently just going to focus on hitting the baseball here. We need a big lefty bat in the lineup as, you know, anyway. So that's a nice opportunity for Hudson to come in and solidify himself as one of the big bats in the lineup along with Cuvée and some of the other guys. But excited about Derek Williams, Bobby Marsh, and Todd Hudson. How do you feel about those three?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I think Derek Williams had some pretty impressive batted ball statistics in terms of the exit velocities. The thing to watch for those guys is definitely the strikeout rates. I mean, you're talking with Todd and Derek specifically, you're already at 24-25% and at a lower conference. So that's something where you don't want to see them, you know, take those another 3 percentage points, 4 percentage points. If it's 30, you start talking unplayable at that point. So something to look out for, but the tools are there with Derek, the power, the ability to play both outfield corners, the track record at the American, which is a great baseball conference. A lot to like there, a lot to be excited for.
Yeah, I think a lot of, you know, just regular college baseball fans don't realize, you know, that Wichita State's a big – that's a big-time program. That's a big-time baseball program. And so coming out of there, you've got an opportunity to come in. You know, I'm with you, man. I'm with you on the strikeout thing. That's the biggest issue for me is this team struck out a lot last year, right? Even the big guys, even Cuvée had his streak where he struck out a lot. You know, he may go 1 for 5, you know, or 1 for 4, 3 strikeouts, and he hit a 480-foot, you know, home run. So, but you're still striking out a lot. Blake's here struck out a lot. Jason Torres, Carrier, all these guys that, you know, you thought were going to come in the lineup and, you know, and albeit they were productive, they still struck out a lot. And it's not only about batting average, it's about situational hitting. They just weren't great at that. That's the biggest thing for me.
We were plagued with unproductive outs, you know, get guys into scoring positions, see to move them over strikeout or, you know, something like that. That just a lot of left on base. So CCH has another question for you. What are your thoughts on Miles Patton and Tommy Lepore?
Those are two very intriguing guys. Miles Patton is a guy that I targeted. I predicted would hit the portal. I see him going to a Texas SEC school personally, either A&M or UT Austin, if I had to predict it. But, you know, you throw enough money and you never know. The Lepore kid, that's another Wichita State kid. He's huge. I think he's like 6'5", 240, big frame. Throws, I think he averages like 94 on the fastball. Not a ton in the way of strikeout stuff, but as a true freshman last year, like you're a coach and your mouth is watering at the opportunity to develop a kid like that.
What about Randall Diaz? What are your thoughts on Randall Diaz, kid?
Dude, I think he's a draft guy. I don't think he ends up at campus next year. But
wow,
that's one of the top guys in the portal for sure. And shortstops are there are not that many of them out there, and that's a guy that could make either way. He's making a lot of money, whether it's through the draft or if he lands on a campus.
If he does, oh man. Apparently Patton's dad had played here at Miami and has 2 rings here, so that's interesting. I had no idea.
That's the insight that you don't get anywhere else.
Right.
You only find it here.
Oh no, believe me. You only get it from this guy. Yeah, only get it from CCH.
He's intense. If you look at the comments, there's 95 people watching this right now, and he is straight up the only one commenting. So
he might have 94 different accounts.
He's putting out a performance for us here. So
yeah, he is. Hey. No, we love him. He's passionate though. He's crazy, but he's passionate, so we love it. Vince, you got what else you got there for Rob?
No, just so I guess so. This is, you know, kind of a little bit of a larger question. Is this just the new normal for college baseball in terms of you're going to get kids for a year, essentially, and you got to – you know, we are used to seeing that progression, especially with pitchers, you know. Okay, we're going to develop your second pitch in the offseason, and then, you know, you're really going to hit your stride, and now it's like, nope, they're gone. Is this something like coaches are going to have to – are they – like, I know you talked to a lot of coaches. Are they trying to adjust to this? Like, all right, I really want to have them for a year. Does it change the way they coach at all?
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free to play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Yeah, I mean, they have to. I mean, they're, you know, at this level, the SEC, ACC, you're always in a hot seat. I mean, you have one losing season, like your job could be on the line. So you can't fight it. You have to go with it. You have to keep recruiting the kids to stay for a year, and while also looking out to all the other schools downstream too, the D2s, D3s. We saw some really valuable D3 guys make some noise in the ACC this year. And even the Florida JUCOs. I love the Florida JUCOs. There's a lot of talent out of there. So you always got to keep an eye out, always looking for the next guy, because that is the way it is. You'd imagine it'd be taken back a step with some new legislation, because I don't know if this is sustainable. But right now, yeah, this is the world we're living in.
It's a wild, wild west, east, north, south, everywhere. It's absolutely crazy.
I guess that's a good thing for us when you're as bad as we were. New team. All right, let's see what happens next year.
And you know what?
Look, gets it worked out for us.
Let's be honest. We don't like to talk about these teams, you know, but look at what FSU is doing, right? It's a perfect example of what you can do if you recruit. I mean, and they've got maybe six or seven guys from the transfer portal that are really playing really well. They probably recruited a couple more than that, but you know, another team that I've spoken to you, Vish, about, and Rob, I've thrown out there a lot is UConn, right? A lot of D3 guys that they picked up last season, and look what they did. They almost got past super regionals as well, right? Another team that you didn't think were going to do that well, but baseball has so much talent all across the board that whether you're an NAIA player or a Division I player, you hit the transfer portal. Baseball is good from top to bottom, man, in every single league, every single division. I obviously played with a couple of guys in Division II that got drafted, you know, in early rounds. And, you know, look at what Tampa does. I mean, Tampa puts out their national title after national title. They get guys drafted all the time, right? Florida Southern, the Matt Joyces of the world. I mean, they've got so many different players, and a lot down here in Florida, but all across the country. So, you know, who's to say that Miami doesn't do that right now? What they've got, the number, what do you have them ranked right now, Rob, in transfer portal?
Let's see. I just created our rankings because they're just starting to come in now. Let's see, our total incoming production metric. Let's see.
Drum roll, right, please.
Top 20 right now. Wait for that to stabilize.
Okay.
Maybe in a week here once we get some more players to other schools. But, yeah, I mean, you're doing well. I think you're going to want to see that Friday guy come in. But, again, it's a power suck to the SEC especially. But going back to your point about recruiting Florida, that's such a huge advantage of being Miami. Like, we got the best backyard for talent. And there's enough to go around to all the big schools. Right. You got the Stetsons. You got the Jacksonvilles, North Floridas, the FGCUs, and then the Sunshine State Conference. That's a D1 caliber conference playing D2. With the Barrys, the Tampas, Florida Southerns, like you mentioned, and then the best JUCO conference. So there's enough players to go around. It's about finding the right one and also taking advantage of, you know, having that backyard.
Yeah. So kind of one last question for me. Jazz is apparently on the phone here. So we talked about catchers earlier. So I'm getting a lot of questions in the chat about, you know, who do you view as potential catchers in the portals? I think we all know Miami's got to take at least one.
Let's see. Let me pull it back up.
Sorry about that. It was a business call. I just started a new job recently, and I got to pick up my phone whenever it rings. It drives me crazy.
It's all good. All right.
So I asked him about catchers in case you can hear. So
yeah, I heard that. Yeah,
he's pulling it up.
I mean, we got what is his name? Brady Neely. Brady Neal is the kid. Grady. What's his name? The kid over at LSU.
Brady Neal, small frame. Got some pop in the bat. Good defender. yeah, I mean, he's a stud, like you said, 2025 draft prospect. He was drafted out of high school 2 years ago. So that's a guy definitely on the radar for Miami. Let's see, looking at the committed and uncommitted guys. They're going quick, the catchers. Catchers and shortstops going fast, so kind of hop on it. Jacob Galloway, University of Southern California. He's one of the top guys in there. Bear Madliak out of Jacksonville State, out of the CUSA now. They used to be an ASUN team. They're now a Conference USA team. Some really good numbers there. You definitely want to check out that guy. Keegan O'Connor.
Go ahead. That's Jacksonville State in Alabama, right?
Alabama, yeah. Yes, sir. Keegan O'Connor out of Quinnipiac. You see a lot of transfers come out of the MAC and the NEC now, and those guys are super productive. I know Keegan's got some really impressive batted ball data in terms of the exit velocities. You got a kid out of Kansas State, Raphael Pelletier. Not the offensive numbers don't jump off the page, but some track record there, some experience. Manny Garza out of Rice. The name plays there in Miami, so that's another.
So does Randall Diaz, Rob. Get him here, man. Get that guy here.
Come just on. Fits so well. That's the recruiting pitch. It's like, hey, man, that name plays.
That's awesome. So I'll put it to you this way. If you had to choose maybe, you know, give me a couple of names if you had to choose that Miami may be pulling the trigger on, or, well, the kids may be pulling the trigger on committing to Miami soon. I know it's hard to, you know, maybe some insight on what you think Miami is doing in the transfer portal and who you think might be next, or maybe a position that might be next for Miami to get here in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, like we just discussed, I think catcher is the number one priority because you can pitch to a guy. It's like we don't even have any other established catchers on the roster. Like, you're going to come in and you're the guy. Like, you're playing as much as you can handle. So I like Bear a lot. I think our guy in the chat, I agree. I think that's a great target. Let's check out the arms. I mean, well, I got
a pop time under 1.6 is, yeah. I mean, 1.6. Well, I'm not sure where you're getting that stuff from, buddy. But under 1.6 is,
I don't know about
is
that.
Is that Deion Sanders back there? I mean, I don't know about 1.6.
Steve Nebraska back there.
Yeah. Maybe a 1.9 or something like that, but 1.8, but 1.6. Stop it.
Yeah, let's check out some. I'll run through some pitchers that I think could be Friday night guys. The Landon Bedel. I cannot pronounce it. Save my life. The Bedelsheim's kid out of Ohio State.
I heard the kid out of Ohio State came out that was pretty good.
Yeah, like him as a target. The DeZerwa kid, who I really loved, he was one of my top guys. The 6'7" lefty out of Michigan State. He's committed to Vanderbilt, so cross him off. But we got ECU, East Carolina, Zach Root, who's an awesome, awesome pitcher. Lefty, definite Friday night guy. Probably one and done in the draft next year, but that would probably be my number one target, him and Landon for sure. And then we got some of the Indiana State guys, the Brennan Cutts kid. I think he's a draft guy, but, you know, you never know nowadays.
Some of these kids might make more money in the NIL than they will if they got drafted. So that's why they stay sometimes, right?
Yeah. I mean, if they're falling into that late day two, day three range, like the NIL, I think could easily be topped there.
I agree.
Interesting. Yeah, the Tommy LaCapoor kid for sure. Another target. Those are the guys. I mean, the pitchers, they're going fast, just like the catchers and shortstops too. So that's got to happen soon.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, we've got a lot of names, like you said, coming in and then going right out, you know, just as fast as they're coming in. So, you know, we want to kind of keep our eyes open on that stuff over there. Of course, if there's anybody to follow on X and on your website, it's you, man. You do an excellent job. You do a really you kick ass when it comes to, you know, keeping everybody up to date on names, on some stats, on analytics, on, you know, movement. So We're really excited to have had you on the show and to continue to see your success and keep doing what you're doing, man. Talk to them, let them know where they can find you on, not only on Twitter, but your website. Plug all the stuff you have going on there, Rob.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on again. This was really fun. Talk some Miami baseball. You can find me, I'm mostly on X. The website I've been neglecting because I spent so much time coding and making sure the products are good for all the users, the coaches. So you can find me on X at Baseball Radar. That's where you'll find most of the action. And yeah, that's pretty much it for now. Hopefully get the Instagram and the TikTok going, but that's where it all happens right now.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on
the show. One last question before we go. We know this is not from CCH.
It's not from CCH.
No.
We're done asking questions from this guy. All right.
Yeah, enough. Relax, man.
Go watch the hockey game, damn it.
Yo, thank you. So I know you're in Tampa. You ever had come down to Miami for a game? We'd love to catch a game with you.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Yeah. So we'll see you at the light next year, man.
I'll be there. I caught the last game of the year at Pittsburgh. It was my first time in Miami.
Nice.
Had to dodge all the mopeds and Lamborghinis. I thought pedestrians had to right away in Florida. That's not the case.
No, absolutely not, Miami. You got to put a helmet on to walk across the street.
That's so funny. He went from mopeds to Lamborghinis. Like, there's no in between sometimes in Miami. You're absolutely right.
Well, the mopeds are on the sidewalk. That's the problem. There's no safe spot anymore.
That's awesome, man. You gotta cut that. Did you try the milkshake or no? Did you try the milkshake?
Oh my god, yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. I had it recommended. I did the apple pie and I absolutely loved it. It cooled me down from the 100-degree heat and almost dying of heat stroke in the stands. But yeah, let's do it. Let's catch a game.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. We'll do that next year for sure.
For sure. We'll keep in touch. Again, Rob, thanks for coming on, man. Follow him at Baseball Radar on X. And it's a pro baseball reader if you want to find
it. Yeah, and I will say, like, no one's doing like the insight he's doing on prospects in college baseball. So definitely follow him. It's awesome stuff.
Very. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
You too, bye.
Yeah, it's a different perspective on
yeah, no, and I like data. So as you know, Professor Rosenthal saying, you know, 64 Analytics has our
yeah, they do some good works too, by the way.
64 yeah, no, they do as well. But so what Rob's doing, it's got an algorithm. That's why he's talking
a little different, coding. Right?
It's custom. When he talks about coding, he's built.
I know when he said coding, I was like, oh no,
no. I knew what that because I guess
you know, yeah, you know.
Well, I read the website earlier. I was like, this is some cool shit he's doing. So. What he's doing is he's taking all this data and all the stuff he was talking about, like he's factoring in, you know, how good their coaching is. So like what usually happens when someone transfers out of that school, all that stuff he's putting it into his algorithm and then feeding in the player and it's coming out with the ranking. So when he said top 20, he's talking about his algorithm pulling out projections based on his historicals, that guy's performance, the park they played in, all of this stuff comes in. And outcomes like this is what I project they're going to hit at Miami in the ACC. This is what I project they're going to do. So he ranks all that and then it gets stacks against them. And that's where the top 20s come. So just it's a completely different way of looking at
right.
it. It's
really crazy. Cool shit. It's really cool shit. I kind of like it. I think that's pretty accurate, right?
Yeah. And I think what's going to happen is it's still relatively new.
Sure.
Is I guarantee you he's going to go big places. Because what's going to happen is over time, it's going to get more and more accurate.
This is, right, that's the kind of stuff that like you ESPN train, will hit them up on, like, oh, let's bring
yeah,
in.
Yeah, because you train it to get smarter over time, right? The more data you get in. So he's getting – that's why he's talking about getting some high school data in there, trying to do that. That's wild. Obviously harder to get, but he's just going to keep getting smarter as it goes over time. And then, again, the most difficult thing – we talked about this a lot because, like you said, NIA, D2, small conference, large conference. There's guys that can play everywhere. And yeah. So – how do you figure out that? Because it's not everyone can play a D2, right? There's diamonds in the rough more stuff. How do you find that? His thing attempts to answer that question. So
it's so crazy.
So it's a really cool way to look at it.
And I'll tell you what,
that, again, he's going to get smart over time.
I can't keep
so you saw what he was doing, right? He was running the freaking algorithm as we're – that's why he was like waiting for it to render. I was like, damn.
That's wild.
Yeah, just have a big ass computer on the other side of that screen, but he was running it in front of us. He asked him a question. He was like, give me a second.
Probably got like 10 servers behind him and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. No,
this is cool stuff. This is like kind of cutting edge stuff that he's doing.
That's pretty cool.
Because again, as we talked about, you know, college baseball is getting more and more popular.
Right.
But they do this similar stuff in other sports. But I don't know that anyone's that getting that deep in college baseball like he is.
No, no. I mean, like you said, right? He's the guy that, you know, all these shows.
Yeah,
no,
that's why. Well, that's why the coaches are coming to him now, because they're like, we can use some of this information here.
It's true. It's true. You get the, you know how Miami has these analytical coaches that all, that's all they focus on. That's what a lot of baseball teams are doing now as well. This is a guy that they go to. You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty impressive. So I'm glad we had him on, because it's a different perspective, a different point of view on how this is done. And to be quite honest, you man, I can't keep up with all these players, all these names that are hitting the portal, whether it's Miami. I mean, I didn't even know Lorenzo Carrier hit the portal the other day. Like, I'm just like, it's just too much, man. It's too much. It's crazy.
Yeah, and Lorenzo Carrier ironically threw us a curveball. So,
oh, shocker.
thought he was going to stay, and, you know, he
but banged. We kind of saw that one coming, so we were able to
at least stop it. I think there's another universe where he wasn't repeatedly yanked out of games for no reason, where he's still here.
True. This is true. That's
a big one.
I agree. It's starting pitching and catching. It's the middle. They say that's the most important part, right? It's the middle of the field. It's catcher, pitcher, shortstop, center field. Like those guys are always going to be some of your most important guys. So I definitely agree with that. I think at first base, is important, but you can kind of.
Is March going to be first base?
I don't know. He plays both, right? The outfield and
left field.
Todd Hudson might be another guy that might move into first base. You know what I mean? Big lefty.
Yeah, so. I mean all we have at short is Jimenez, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We've got Arezzi Garrigues Iguagua. He's a freshman though, incoming freshman. So yeah, it's different. But as far as coming back, yes, it's only Jimenez. There you go, play in the portal. Yeah, I agree. We'll see what happens. Anyways, Vish, what do you got coming up this week? You got buckets?
I don't know when we have buckets. Maybe on Saturday again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Try to get Matt is coaching basketball now. So and they do double headers on Wednesday and Thursday night. So we've been
crazy.
We've been cramming in when we can. So we'll see. Hopefully we should have some buckets this week at some point.
Hopefully we get to celebrate La Carreta tonight with pots and pans. We'll see.
Need a couple of goals.
Yep, they're down 4-2. The third period just started now, so we'll see what happens. Arezziaga. There you go. Yeah. They're both at the draft combine. Nice. Good for them. You know, I'm expecting them to come in and play here, though.
So he is
playing well. I did see that.
This is what we call not falling for the banana in the tailpipe. We saw.
That's true. Although Cuvée's doing all right too. He had a double.
I mean, Cuvée. I don't think we're worried about Cuvée, right? I mean, yeah, we're talking like Jimenez doing well in the Cape is not. I mean, literally to the end of the year, it was the same play.
I mean, the fact that he's even playing in the Cape is wild to me. But yeah. Good for him. He's got tools, right? He's got the makeup. He's just there's a lot of things he can work on. Let's just put it that way. I think his mannerisms, the way he plays, he's got to tone it down a little bit. I understand some people are just better that way, right? They play better like that with that air of cockiness. And for me, it's about, you know, settling down a little bit. And you can do that if you're hitting over 300 and you've got 10 bombs and 40 RBIs. Otherwise, just, you know, I know it sounds very cliche of an old school baseball, but I'm an old school baseball guy. That is what it is. We'll see what happens. Anyways, I'm done. I'm going to go watch Panthers hockey. This was fun. Thank you to Rob from Baseball Radar. And I think we'll have – I will actually have dude on from 64 Analytics, if not next week, the following week. So keep a lock for that, because he's ready to come on the show as well. Maybe if we can get Kendall Rogers on, that'd be kind of cool too. But
I like how you asked him about the College World Series. Like, oh, yeah, let me pause. Dude's in Omaha, man. What are you
talking about? When?
On Twitter, you're like, you should come on and talk Cade's baseball. I saw it.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
in the middle of the College World Series.
Oh, who cares?
I want to talk about.
Yeah, who cares?
Under 500K. Let's go, baby. No, I think we can get him in the off. I think we might be able to get him in the
Yeah, but I mentioned it because he mentioned something about the Canes about a commit or something like that. So I was like, all right, come on and talk.
I mean, he'll be on Buckets. We're doing a guest show, so you can catch him over there.
Kendall Rogers is going to be on
Buckets? No. I'm watching the screen. You're watching the Panthers.
Oh, you should have on as a guest. Oh, man. Yeah, we should. We'll shut down Twitter with that one. We'll shut down YouTube with that one.
I don't know if the bandwidth on our StreamYard account can handle the hot air coming out of that. But.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be a fun one.
All right,
that's gonna be a fun one.
Let me let you go watch hockey.
Let's go. Follow us on Twitter at Canes on Deck. Subscribe to the at Five Reasons Canes podcast wherever it is you get your podcast.
This will go on there. So
and we'll be back
we'll be back football next weekend. Go Panthers.
Go Cats. Let's go.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.